The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
The battle is on in the Treaty City. 4 seats up for grabs, 17 candidates in the fight, and 6 of them join us here tonight. The hospital, housing, community facilities, transport, infrastructure. Who will the voters here entrust with the task of improving those vital services? And which of those with us tonight has their finger on the pulse here in the beating heart of the Midwest? We'll have all of that and more on tonight's late debate, live from RTE Limerick. Tonight we're joined in our studio here in Cornmarket Square by 6 candidates vying for your vote in the general election in the Limerick City constituency. The candidates before me are Maurice Quinlivan, Sinn Féin candidate, Brian Leddon, Green candidate, Maria Byrne, Fine Gael candidate, Dee Ryan, Fianna Fáil candidate, Conor Sheehan, Labour candidate, and Elise O'Donovan, Social Democrats candidate. Welcome to you all and thanks for joining us. We'll get to you in a minute, but I suppose given that we have about nearly half the candidates here, we might as well read out the rest of the people in contention before we get into the discussion this evening. The other candidates in Limerick City are Frankie Daly, Independent, Sarah Beasley, Aonthu, Willie O'Dea, Fianna Fáil, Kieran O'Donnell, Fine Gael, Paul Gavin, Sinn Féin, Esther Ahern, Independent Ireland, Rory Fahey, People Before Profit, Michelle Hayes, Independent, Melanie Sheehan Cleary, Independent Midwest Hospital Campaign, Dean Quinn, The Irish People, and Dean Lillis, Independent. And so to our discussion this evening, and before we begin, just some housekeeping. You'll each have a minute and a half each initially to reply to each question I ask, and we'll ask you please to give respect to other people and not interrupt or speak over each other while the other person is speaking. If you don't use your full time, that minute and a half, you might be asked a follow-up question just to elaborate on a particular point on that or maybe on a later issue. We'll allow a further minute per candidate on some of the issues, some of the bigger issues, and again we'd ask that every speaker would respect the time of others during that minute, which might be used for rebuttal or indeed to elaborate on a point you may not have got to finish in your first answer. Now, the first question tonight is going to be about University Hospital Limerick, where issues with overcrowding and questions over patient safety have been to the fore in recent years. There's 96 patients on the trolley there today. That's two more than on this day last year. A new interim report is set to be published in January, looking at the need for a second emergency department here in the region. So, the question is, should you be elected, what political action would you take to alleviate the issues with the hospital before any decision is taken on the new facility? We'll begin with Maurice Quinlivan, Sinn Féin candidate.
Yeah, hopefully I will be elected when the people go to the polls next Friday, along with my colleague Paul Gavin. We have an ongoing crisis in University Hospital Limerick. It didn't happen overnight. It's a result of the closure of the EDs in the Midwest region. Closed St John's, closed Ennis and Nina hospitals by Fianna Fáil back in 2008-2009. At the time, we were promised a centre of excellence. We didn't get that. And we're seeing the catastrophic outcomes of that, where on average this week, we had 112 people every single day on a trolley waiting for a bed. And it's important to remember that people who are on the trolleys waiting for a bed are people that are deemed to be in need of the bed. They've been assessed, they're ready to go into the bed, but there's actually no bed available for them. And this is causing ongoing problems in the hospital. 21,000 people were on trolleys last year. It's going to be worse this year. What we need to do is, there's two things we need to do. We have a long-term plan, which is a second ED in the region. That I think everyone has agreed that we need to do that. The only disagreement there is with the where we're going to locate that. And immediately, we need interventions. And the only time trolley numbers go down is when there's a specific intervention, and we need that intervention the whole time. So we need to make sure we have the additional capacity of staff. For instance, the nurses tell me they're short of 200 staff members out there. The government they won't admit it, but have an embargo on staff and recruitment in the hospital, which doesn't allow them to recruit the staff members they need. But these are people, you know, we can get carried away with the figures and forget the figures. These are people we know, often family members, okay, often friends of ours and neighbours of ours.
All right. Brian Leddon, Green candidate. Again, that question to you. What political action would you take to alleviate the issues in the hospital, even before a decision is taken on a new facility?
I think it's worth pointing out that the reason we have a crisis in UHL is because in this country, and this goes back decades, and I tend to agree with a lot of what Maurice has just said, we are not good at long-term strategic planning, and our political system actually doesn't reward politicians for getting into the long-term strategic approach. And so all of the time, politicians are rewarded for getting into the immediate crisis that we have. But what that means is that we're always fighting fighting fires. So it's not just in health, by the way, it's in every other sector. We can. There's a housing crisis, there's a huge challenge in childcare, transport, energy, you name it. As a state, we have not been good at that long-term piece, and that's why we have a crisis in UHL. It does go back, in some part, to the closure of the EDs in Nina, Ennis and St John's, but also a failure to plan for the kind of demands that we would see, that we are seeing now in healthcare. So essentially, the Midwest has been under-resourced for quite a long time. We haven't been projecting and predicting the kind of demand that we would see in health, and therefore we haven't been making the investment decisions early enough to prevent it, and that's why we have a crisis. We have to get fundamentally better at forecasting what level of demand we're going to see so that we don't have these crises, whether it's in health or any other sector. And that's fundamentally it. And anybody who says that we're going to solve this problem quickly when we haven't been doing that long-term planning is wrong. It's going to take time. A lot of good work has been done, I should say that, but it's going to take some years to get to the level of healthcare that we deserve in the Midwest.
Okay, time up on that. Maria Byrne, Fine Gael candidate. The same question to you about the hospital. What political action would you take even before January when a decision is made on a second ED for the region, if that is the decision? But what action would you take to alleviate the situation in the here and now?
Well, certainly I know at the moment that they're looking at better use of the existing hospitals within the UHL group. That's John's, Nina and Ennis. There's a commitment to 60 extra beds in St John's. There's 16 extra beds will be finished at UHL before Christmas. There's 1,198 extra staff gone into the hospital in recent times, and that's nursing right across different departments, that's from consultants to doctors. But I do believe that we've got to support the existing structure as well as looking at that surgical hub that's been built that will be provided above Knockanon Avenue. I believe they need to look at more beds, maybe in private facilities within the region as well, to facilitate people. You know, we've got to give people a better level of healthcare, but certainly the fact that the ED is going to, we will know in January where it's going to be based. The fact of the matter is that the hospital is too small for the size of the region, so we need to get that ED up and running and built as quickly as possible, and certainly to support the existing staff and patients who are there in very tough conditions, certainly.
Okay, and just seeing as you're slightly short in your minute now, do you have a view as to whether or not the reopening of Ennis or Nina emergency departments would alleviate the situation, or would you prefer Limerick to be expanded?
Well, I do believe that, you know, there is a 98-bed block currently underway. The staff, and it was confirmed to me at the Health Committee that the staff are currently being recruited for that, that they will be in place for when it opens. But I do believe that wherever this A&E, the new one, will be, I believe it will be in addition to one of the existing hospitals.
Okay. D. Ryan, the same question to you. The action you'd take in order to alleviate the situation with Limerick Hospital now, or at least the action you'd support.
Yeah, and very conscious as we speak about this that for the people on trolleys at UHL tonight, there is little comfort in what they're hearing from us. But it is really important because I know how anxious people right across the constituency are about this issue. It's undoubtedly the number one issue coming up on the doors, that we give people hope. The first thing we have to do, whomever is given the honour to represent Limerick, is we have to make sure that we deliver on the beds that are in the pipeline and that we hire the people necessary to staff those beds. Normally when we're talking about hospital, we're talking in years. In this case, we're actually talking in terms of months. We'll have 112 extra beds by the middle of next year in Limerick. And right now we only have 518 beds. So that's a 20% increase, and that is a lot, but it's not nearly enough. It's critical that whomever gets elected has to ensure that the further 180 beds that have been committed to are prioritised and delivered over the course of the next government. The next thing we have to do is we have to decide where are we going to put that extra ED capacity. Is it going to be Ennis, is it going to be Nina, or is it going to be a new Model 3 hospital for the region? Personally, my view is that it should be a new Model 3 hospital, motorway connected, to ensure that the whole of the people across the Midwest can access it as quickly as possible. But those are the priorities for whomever is, should be the priorities for whomever is elected over the course of this election.
Okay, and the issue of Ennis and Nina, you don't have a particular view on that.
I wouldn't care if the next Model 3 hospital was in Timbuktu do if it alleviates pressure on the emergency room in UHL.
Okay. Conor Sheehan, same question to you.
Look, Colm, the first thing I would say is that there's anger and disappointment on the doors in Limerick in relation to this. Just this evening, I met a woman who told me her 77-year-old father, who has Parkinson's, who has since deceased, spent 10 days on a trolley last year. 10 days. That is unconscionable in 2023. I met a consultant in Ennis who told me that just this moment, that only one of the two operating theatres in Ennis is currently operational due to staffing issues. And this brings me on to my point. The first and most immediate issue that needs to be addressed is staffing. You can put infrastructure in place until the cows come home, but if you cannot staff it, you cannot make it work. And the pay-by-numbers model that the HSE use is not working. Posts are being abolished. They're simply disappearing. The last bit of business Labour did before the previous Dáil wound up was a motion on staffing in the HSE. We got Forza to go away and survey their members in relation to staffing vacancies. 4,000 members were surveyed. 88% of them reported a vacancy. We have, as Maurice rightly pointed out, about 200 vacancies at the moment in UHL. And we need to lift the recruitment moratorium completely, without equivocation. And we also need to introduce a new framework around staffing to ensure that there is safe staffing in the infrastructure that we currently have, because that is not there. And on the more long term, we do need a second emergency department.
Elise O'Donovan, Social Democrats candidate, your view on this, what needs to be done even before that decision is made in that HICWA report, if indeed it is to provide a second emergency department?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's really nonsense that we have to wait for this HICWA report. You know, we knew back in 2009 that we didn't have capacity in UHL to close those emergency departments. I guess this is something that is very personal for me, because for the last 5 years I've represented the area of Limerick City West in which UHL is situated. You know, we know it is the hospital in the whole country with the most chronic overcrowding, and I'm the only councillor from that area that is running in this election. And I've also worked in our local health services. I've worked in primary care. I've worked in neurological services, and I've worked in St Camillus's Hospital. So as a frontline healthcare worker, probably one of the reasons that I've stepped up to run in this general election is because I think that we need someone who's got the knowledge and the experience of working on the ground with people in relation to this issue. The reason that I'm running for the Social Democrats as well is because we are the only party that has a plan in which to fix our extremely broken health service. Every party here that is sitting for this radio interview has signed up to Sláintecare Care. We are a complete outlier in the EU, and that we do not have a public health service that is freely accessible to all in our communities. So one of the first things that we will do if the Social Democrats are elected to government is fully implement Sláintecare Care, front load it so people can freely access community healthcare support.
Okay, your minute and a half is up. We are going to give you each a minute of rebuttal. You can choose that. You can use that minute to either rebut somebody else you've heard around the table, or you can elaborate on a point you didn't have the chance to make in the first round on this question. But seeing as the hospital is a big issue, we're going to afford a bit more time on this. We'll start indeed with yourself, Elise, and we'll go back in reverse order. Your minute starts now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just to add on to that as well, because I think it is really important. You know, we have a lot of people talking about abstract things, about figures and beds and new hospitals. But the reality is that they will find it very difficult to get the staff. And often, you know, we've sat through a lot of debates in relation to this election where we've heard about beds and different things coming on stream. However, we have to start with our staff. And I can tell you, as a frontline healthcare worker, that our staff currently are exiting the public health system to go in to the private health system. And I've heard it from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael government reps that they've been talking about private hospitals coming up on stream. But this is all this is doing when we have this two-tier health system is bringing our healthcare workers from the public system into the private system. So I just don't think any of their current models that we're doing will work, because we are just going to lose staff to the private system.
Okay. Conor Sheehan, Labour candidate. What either would you like to rebut or elaborate on this particular issue?
Well, the first thing I would say is to take up a lot of what Elisa said in her previous point, and it's no surprise because she's a Social Democrat and I'm Labour, that I agree completely with what she said. And my big concern is that this new private hospital that's opening, the Bonsecours private hospital, when that opens in Ballysimon, that is actually going to empty UHL of staff in key nursing, in key clinical posts, because the staff are worn out there. They are at absolute breaking point. And you can talk about long-term planning all you want, but this government has been in office since 2020, and since they've been in office, 78,000 people have been on trolleys. We saw, for example, during COVID, the extraordinary power of the state to get on top of things. We saw how the trolley numbers were virtually eliminated during that period when extraordinary measures were introduced. And for the government last year to sign up to an underspend, to basically underfund the health service, and for Bernard Gloucester, the chief executive of the HSE, to come on this week, 2 days after the budget, and castigate the health minister like that, it's extraordinary that they left the health service like that.
D. Ryan, Fianna Fáil candidate.
Yeah, I have to push back on what, frankly, I would say amounts to scaremongering that I'm hearing here on my left-hand side from the Social Democrats and the Labour Party candidates. I mean, if you were to believe them, you'd imagine that there was no one working in UHL. The fact is that we have added in the lifetime of this government 430 new nurses, 180 new doctors and 60 consultants since we came into office. And yes, there will be a challenge with recruitment. I've come from the private sector. I've represented the business community for the last 5 years, and I appreciate that there's a war on talent across all sectors at the moment. But what I can tell you is, in our experience in industry, where you have a cluster of more than one employers, so the Bonsecours Hospital on the Ballysimon Road, and in time the UPMC medical facility out in Moy Ross, they actually attract more talent to a region and create more of a draw for employees to come to a region. So I don't share their concerns on that regard, and I think that it's actually irresponsible to be scaring people who have to use that hospital into thinking that there's nobody out there working.
Okay, Maria Byrne.
Thanks very much indeed, Colm, and I too would like to take up, I suppose, where Dee left over, and I suppose the budget in UHL actually went from 265 million in 2019 to 423 million in 2023, and that's for UHL altogether. And certainly she is right in terms of the amount of consultants, nurses and staff that have gone there, and I'd hate it to go out of here that there isn't people working there, because certainly I met people this evening who had a very good visit to the hospital recently, and that was somebody, an elderly patient or parent, that they took to the hospital. They didn't end up, we'll say, long term in a trolley, but they were there for a number of hours. They got seen to very quickly, and certainly they had a very good experience. And I know that we are hearing, and I do feel so sorry for the people who do have a bad experience there, but I think once you get into the hospital system or get into the system within UHL, you have a very good experience, and that's what I'm hearing on the ground, certainly.
Okay, Brian Ladden, Green Party candidate.
If we're talking just about another emergency department or another Model 3 hospital, we're actually sowing the seeds for the same and worse problem in the future. The reality is that the population of this city and this region is surging at the moment, and by 2040 there could be 100,000 more people and essentially double the need for healthcare in this region. So you're actually only running to stand still. We need to be talking about another UHL, a Model 4 hospital, and if you're not talking about that, you're basically making the same mistake that you made 10 years ago when you didn't plan for the kind of demand that we are seeing now. That's why we have a crisis in UHL. And if we're not thinking like that, we're not going to solve the problem. And in the short term, like, a lot is being done, and I would agree with Dee and Maria, there's been a 59% increase in funding for UHL in the term of this government. 160 new beds provided.
Okay, Maurice Quinlivan, yeah, your minute starts now.
It's a bit rich, listen to Maria and Dee there. Like, Dee's party closed on the EDs in the region, which causes the problem. Maria's party is leading government at the moment, which have had the recruitment embargo at UHL, where, as I said earlier, there's 200 nurses missing. Porters are leaving morning, noon and night. They can't get the staff to do cleaning. They can't get the staff to do anything. I didn't interrupt you, Maria. Don't put up your hand. We have a problem at the hospital. Do we need interventions? We need...
Don't open my mouth.
Sorry, my apologies then. We need a proper intervention into that hospital because it's not acceptable what's going on. Any one of us that's around there knocking on doors, and you don't have to knock on doors. I get it every single day in my constituency office. We have horror stories from families. I dealt with a family, I said on the radio this week already, an 80-year-old woman sitting next to the trolley for 5 days with her 80-year-old husband. We have...
Okay, your minute's up. We do need to move on to another issue. I appreciate the importance of this, but we do want to get to the issue of housing. Now, we can't cover it all in the course of our discussion tonight, so we want to have a look at the issue of vacant buildings, because you don't have to go far from where we are to see them. And in July this year, there were reported 227 vacant houses in Limerick across city and county. That was a marginal increase on the same time the previous year. 400 derelict sites, a rise, that was figures reported last year, which was a rise on 2022. So the question is, what would be your proposal to get vacated social homes back into use quickly, stop homes from remaining vacant for long periods, and why should people believe your proposal is better than that of other candidates? And if you have the time in your minute and a half, you might also look at the issue of converting derelict commercial buildings into housing in your answer, as I say, if you have the time. Elise O'Donovan, Social Democrats candidate, will start with you.
Yeah, this is something that I think we have raised very clearly in our manifesto. It's something of quite concern to me because I live in the city centre and, you know, we do have a significant dereliction issue in Limerick City. This is something that I have raised multiple times in council. Last year, the council only raised 300,000 in vacant and derelict site levies out of a possible 3.5 million. So one of the things that the Social Democrats have called for multiple times is a vacant site levy, a vacant home levy with teeth. You know, if the local authority actually did collect those levies, can you imagine what we could do with bringing those homes back into use with that 3.5 million euro. So one of the things that we want to do is really also have an incentive for people to bring these homes back into use. I know that there's so many young people who would love to live in one of those homes in the city centre. So we have to increase the local authorities' powers to CPO these buildings, give incentive to people to bring them back into use. And also what we're suggesting is a one-stop shop for vacancy for people looking to repurpose these homes and renovate them to live in.
Okay, time up. Conor Sheehan, Labour candidate, to you next.
Well, the first thing I would say is in terms of using the buildings that we already have, I mean, the most sustainable building is the building you already have, and we need to introduce a vacant homes tax with teeth. And what we're proposing is that it would be introduced at a rate of 10 times the LPT, because the fact of...
The local property tax.
The local property tax, excuse me. Because at the moment, there is no real stick there in terms of vacant homes. And I mean, the biggest issue that I'm coming up with in terms of social homes is basically the void scheme, which is the scheme by which the local authority, the council, draws down funding from the department to refurbish vacant council homes. It doesn't work. They have to bundle far too many of them together. They can only apply, say, once or twice a year in order to draw down that funding. It's too bureaucratic. It takes far too long. There's far too much paperwork involved, and they need to empower local government. I mean, we have a directly elected mayor here in Limerick for the first time, and the directly elected mayor was elected in many ways to take on a lot of the previous functions that the chief executive had. And that means that the mayor should be empowered with a budget in order to refurbish all the vacant council homes that we have. We have far too many of them.
Time up. D. Ryan, Fianna Fáil candidate, same question to you on vacant void homes and derelict sites.
Yeah, and of course this is a critical issue for people here in Limerick, and I'm conscious that there are listeners tonight who are either at home living with their parents as adults, as many of my own family members and cousins are, or they are the parents of adult children who have, you know, who would like to have had them flown the coop at this point. So when we're talking about housing, I'm always thinking about people who are under pressure and really, you know, at their wits' ends, trying to get ready to get out of their family homes. Vacancy and dereliction is critical for both compact growth in our city centre, and that is, you know, we have a moral and an environmental obligation to ensure that we are tackling and funding these issues. But it's not, and it's really important obviously for city revitalisation as well. We need to have more people living in our city centre. That's going to really help bring life back into our city centre, and our city centre is so important not just to those who live in it and the businesses that work in it, but actually to the wider region from an economic perspective. Our city is the engine that drives our regional economic growth. But vacancy and dereliction alone is not going to tackle our housing problem, and we have to get real about this. We have to build new homes at scale right across Limerick, and that has to be a key objective. Over the course of the last 4 years, we delivered 3,000 new homes in Limerick, and it's nowhere near enough. 1,000 of them went to social housing, just under 1,000 of them went to first-time buyers, and a further 1,000 went to second-hand, other owner-occupiers, and a small function went into the rental market. We have to be far more productive in terms of new home delivery in Limerick, and there is a role for a local authority.
All right, your time is up on this. We do have to get to Maria Byrne, Fine Gael candidate. That issue of vacant buildings, vacant sites, void social homes, what's your proposal to bring them into use?
Absolutely, and certainly Fine Gael going back into government would extend it for another 5 years. It has worked so far to date, but I do believe that we need to look at things like the living over the shop scheme. We need to look at the vacant units. For many years, if you go back and take O'Connell Street, there's actually nobody living overhead the businesses. For many years, families lived overhead those businesses when they were family-run businesses. We've got to, there is an exemption there to do with planning to bring those vacant units back into use. We've got to extend that. We also need to look at incentivising the Croí Cónaithe and the derelict buildings fund that is there at the moment. 50,000 for the Croí Cónaithe and 70,000 if it's totally derelict. And there are many buildings around this city that could actually be used to bring people living back in the city. But I would agree that we also need to build alongside that. We need to build, we need to extend the Help to Buy scheme, but also the Rent to Buy scheme as well. Those schemes have actually worked very, very well. And there's a couple of thousand people have actually availed that scheme here in Limerick, and we need to extend and have more of them, as well as the right sizing scheme. Because I've met people when I've been around talking to people who want to live back in the city and who want to avail of some of those schemes, especially a lot of widows and widowers living in 3 and 4 bedroom homes who would like to downsize. So I think we need to provide a choice.
Okay. Brian Leddon, to you next on that issue of vacant buildings, derelict sites and void homes.
Yeah, well, activating the vacant and derelict buildings and sites is critically important. It's not the silver bullet that's going to solve the housing crisis, but it does play a part. And separate to the importance of accommodating people, it's better for our city, for our sense of well-being as a city, that we're not looking at vacant and derelict buildings. Limerick, by the way, it should be pointed out, is the best local authority in the country at acquiring derelict buildings in real numbers. It's more than even Dublin, believe it or not. So Limerick is leading the way there. So we have a long way to go, of course, but good work has been done. Maria mentioned the grant, 70,000 for derelict buildings, 50,000 for vacant buildings. I'm actually the person that got that. I was the one who started the conversation within our own party. We took that argument to Minister O'Brien. It was actually an argument about the Help to Buy scheme. We said, listen, why can't we activate the existing buildings that are there, 200,000 derelict homes in the country? And Minister O'Brien agreed, and that's why we have a 50,000 and 70,000 grant. Before either myself or Mayor John Moran were in politics, we formed a group called Livable Limerick, and that was about changing the conversation about what Limerick, and Dee's alluded to it there, about fundamentally the lifeline for Limerick City is to get people back living in it again, in high quality, high density accommodation like we have in the Strand apartments, Bishop's Quay, Riverpoint. Everybody around the table would know those developments, and there's huge potential for so much more.
All right, time up on this one. We will return and give you all a minute each, seeing as housing is an important issue. We'll give you the rebuttal, Maurice Quinlivan. You'll get the minute, but first of all, you might want to use your minute and a half to lay out what your proposals are to get vacant building voids and derelict sites into use, and we'll come back to you for your rebuttal after that.
Yeah, it's very important. Like when we're talking about housing, that we appreciate there's people probably listening to this, as Steve said earlier, there's people probably in emergency accommodation, there's people that we meet all the time. Anyone knocking doors will be conscious of the generations of families now back living home because of either being evicted from their house, they couldn't afford a rent, they were put out of their house by the landlord. But in Limerick, we always have 200, 220 plus vacant council properties. As Conor said earlier, the system for getting those voids back into use is absolutely ridiculous, and the red tape that's around that has not been removed. And I've asked Dara Byrne personally and myself on a number of occasions to remove this, to remove that, whereby the councils, local authorities, like they could do in the past, is retrospectively get the money back after they've done up some of those houses, so it will be turned over much quicker. For instance, today, and just to explain the bizarre situation that can happen sometimes, I was dealing with a family in the South Hill area where their daughter, who works in a shop down in the city centre, is in emergency accommodation with her two children in a hotel that they can see from their house. And next door to those is a house that's boarded up, a local authority house that's been boarded up for 3 years. That demonstrates the lack of urgency that's been put into housing with this present government. And it was confirmed by comments by former Minister Owen Murphy in his book last week, where he said that Fine Gael didn't allow him to build houses when he was the minister, and that was partly one of the reasons why he decided to resign. But we need to look at a vacancy across the city, not just look at authority ones. The Derelict Sites Act, levies need to be collected in the scale that they're there for.
Okay, we will come back to you on this. I suppose, you know, we'll allow a minute each for rebuttal on this, but maybe in the course of the minute, I suppose the members of the government parties might like to address, having been in power for 5 years, why further progress hasn't been made on this. But Elisa O'Donovan, do you want to lead out there on pick up a point of rebuttal?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm very interested in what you asked there as well. What has been done in relation to this? Because, you know, I walk around the city like every day, and I don't see many of these homes being brought back into use. So obviously what the current government has done has not worked, and it has failed. So we need a new approach. That's why I'm running in this election. I also think that one thing, I know that Maria there mentioned bringing back people living over shop in shops, but that is something that happens in the city centre. However, what I would say at the moment in the city centre is it's really a landlord's market. There's very few protections for renters in our city. So one of the things that we will be doing in the Social Democrats is ensuring that renters have protection, because I think at the moment what we see is landlords repurposing derelict homes in our city charging extortionate rents for them.
Your minute is up on that. Maria Byrne, seeing as that remark was addressed to you in particular, do you want to take your minute of rebuttal?
Certainly, and I live in the city centre, and I would have to say that, you know, we need to have more of the living over the shop scheme, and we need to make it easier for landlords and for owners of the properties to actually be able to do it. We need to get rid of a lot of the red tape. And certainly the Living Cities Initiative, it's an initiative that was set up for Limerick specific, as well as Dublin and other Georgian areas. And I have seen, when I was first elected to the council, there was a lot of, I suppose, slum accommodation in a lot of those areas. I now see there is families and young people living back in those. So there is a lot done, but we need to expand on that and to help people to actually get back to live in the city, because we need Limerick to become a city where people can live and enjoy life, certainly in the city centre.
Okay, Conor Sheehan, to you on this, I suppose, why should people trust that you would make it better?
Well, the first thing I would say is that it was my colleague, our former TD and Minister Jan O'Sullivan, who initially actually set up the void scheme in 2014 to deal with this issue of vacancy and dereliction, particularly in council and local authority owned properties. And it was the then Fine Gael Labour government that actually set up, under Minister Michael Noonan, who set up the living above the shop scheme. And that scheme didn't really succeed, and we need to take the learnings from this. But my big thing is that we need to look at buildings, say for example, that the likes of the OPW already own, buildings like the HSE own. We have a proposal in our manifesto to convert vacant HSE buildings into key worker housing for the medical staff that we need to get, because one of the biggest issues is they can't get housing. But we have Sarsfield House across the road, right, which is just behind Arthur's Quay. The OPW are going to vacate that next year. There are proposals there to bulldoze that building. I think we need to find out whether we can convert that into to housing
before we consider
bulldozing.
D. Ryan, I suppose the council does have, I think, one of the better records in the country of acting on this issue of dereliction and vacant sites, but in terms of a drive coming from government, why isn't it further along than it is? And if you'd like to use some of your time as well to report, we have been placing
an emphasis on this, and we have many schemes developed to help people who have the capacity to renovate and breathe new life back into vacant or derelict homes to do so. But again, I'll say that's not going to solve our housing crisis, and we've been focused on new builds. You know, I'm really passionate about this because my husband and I, when we got married first and had our family, had to rent our family home for 7 years. So I understand the pressure that puts people under. I understand the strain and the worry about, are the kids scribbling on somebody else's wall, and, you know, is that text message going to be a notice for eviction? So I'm passionate about this. The fastest way to deliver homes for people so that they can exit, who don't want to be in rental accommodation, that they can exit it, is to build new homes at scale. We have 5,000 approved planning permissions in Limerick right now. 5,000. Now, anybody in development, in housing, will tell you the longest part and the hardest part is to get your planning. There's a government scheme called the Land Activation Fund that is there for local authorities to develop those sites.
Maurice Quinlivan.
Again, like Dee's talking there, but your party being government, Dee, for the last 5 years, you've had the housing ministry.
And we've delivered 75% growth over that period.
Okay, no interruption.
In fairness, you delivered 500 houses in Limerick last year, right? And your own Chamber of
Commerce. 800
homes in Limerick. Okay, we'll argue. The Chamber of Commerce were on the radio last week in Limerick saying we need 3,000 at least each year over the last number of years. We also need to upscale dramatically the housing build across the state, and we're talking about 60,000 units a year, which is the Housing Commission says, but that's not in your manifesto either. So
absolutely is, Maurice.
All right, okay. Maurice Quinlivan, you want to finish the point?
Yeah, I'll finish off and go back to the voids that we're talking about. It's the simplest thing of talking about. If you're talking about council, local authority owned houses, and I agree, it's not going to solve the housing crisis, but it is going to enhance our estates. It's going to take people out of emergency accommodation. It's going to give houses to families. But the system is broken with that one, and Dara O'Brien would not fix it, despite being asked on almost a weekly basis by Oireachtas members from all parties to fix that void system.
Your minutes
and put those houses back in place.
Brian Ledden,
and it's not just...
We need to go to Brian Ledden on this. We're trying to divide the time equally.
I hope you'll forgive me for turning the conversation to talk about trains, but we will get to transport.
It's a separate question.
It's not. My plan for Limerick is about opening up sites for development, for housing development, and using our existing rail infrastructure, upgrading it and having high frequency services between these sites. So whether it's Raheen or Mungert or Lisnagrai or Ballysimon or Corbally or Myross or Shannon, we want to build a railway to Shannon Airport, and we've costed that and it's in our manifesto. So this isn't a transport plan, it's a housing plan, and this is the answer, because we know there's going to be a million more people living in this country in 2040 than there were in 2020. And as a region, we're putting our hands up to say we want to be a fast-growing European city region. And the only way to do that, to build houses at scale, is to build them around this highly efficient, modern infrastructure that I'm proposing.
Okay. All right. We are going to take about a minute of a break. We have a number of other issues we want to cover. We want to look at investment in community facilities, transport and infrastructure, things you might prioritise. We'll get to that with our six candidates after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1. Email latedebate@rte.ie.
Hello, you're welcome back. We're in Limerick City, coming from RTE Limerick, looking at the Limerick City constituencies. 4 seats up for grabs, 17 candidates in the fight. 6 of them with us here tonight. They're Brian Ledden, Green candidate, Conor Sheehan, Labour candidate, Dee Ryan, Fianna Fáil candidate, Elise O'Donovan of the Social Democrats, Maria Byrne of Fine Gael, and Maurice Quinlivan of Sinn Féin. Now, earlier when we arrived this afternoon, I was out and about in the Keys shopping centre and in some of the city centre streets and speaking to people around the city centre, and a number of people, particularly those either young people or people with children, call for improvements in facilities and improvements in community facilities as well. So we're going to ask our candidates here tonight what specific commitment they're making for facilities in Limerick and what particular facility would be their number one priority. We have a minute per candidate on this. I'm going to start with you, Maurice Quinlivan.
Sinn Féin has committed to use €1 billion of the Apple tax money to invest directly into working class communities. The priority here in Limerick would be a long commitment that some parties have made and not held, but one Sinn Féin made in the last election, and one we will deliver in this if we're in government. So this community centre in Gary Owen would be a priority number one for us, but we will be looking at other community centres in the Dordoyle area and the Anacotti area to make sure that community facilities are delivered. A lot of our communities have been left behind. A lot of them have been destroyed by austerity that Fine Gael brought in 2008, 2009, 2011. When the economy clashed and Fine Gael brought in the austerity, those communities haven't recovered from that. A lot of the groups and the services that are there have their funding cut in the austerity years, not being replaced. And I remember the Drug and Alcohol Forum. We had no increased funding since 2008.
Your minute's up. Brian Ledden, Green candidate, same question to you. Number one community facility that you'd prioritise?
Well, I'm going to talk about amenity for Limerick because I think this is really important. We're very fortunate in Limerick. I think we're the only city in the country that has an extensive network of riverside walks. If you go from Corbly or the city centre out to Castle Troy, and if you haven't done it, Colm, I'd encourage you to do it. It's really, truly beautiful by the Shannon River and the Park Canal. We have potential to do a lot more of that. We can build a path from the Mill Road back along opposite Long Pavement, down by the Abbey River, back into town. We can go the other way down by Kirkenree, matching what we have on the Condell Road. And there's such incredible potential because of our natural amenity in Limerick to build out this network. And I think if we do that, there's everyone around the table will know this, that amenity that we have provides so much, utility to people in Limerick from a leisure point of view, from a health point of view, but also for getting around. Actually, if you want to go from Corbly to the university, it's 10 minutes by bike or half an hour walking. Okay. You'd be 45 minutes driving.
Your minute's up. Maria Byrne, same question to you. What investment would you make in amenities and facilities in Limerick, and what one would you prioritise?
Absolutely. So I suppose Fine Gael are committed to setting up a Department of Infrastructure, which will accelerate the larger infrastructural projects. And certainly it's about connectivity, but it's also about a task force similar to what they set up in Dublin. And I was very lucky today to get a commitment from Fine Gael in their manifesto that in Limerick we would set up a task force to deal with the city centre, to deal with how we can get people socialising but also working in the city centre and living in the city centre, and that has worked in Dublin. It will be a combination of the local authority, the Gardaí, some of the drug task force people, and I sit in the board of Searship, which is drug and alcohol addiction, and certainly the likes of those sitting on it, coming together, key stakeholders, to actually set up and to make Limerick more, I suppose, to bring people into the city centre, to deal with the derelict and vacant units, how we can bring in niche businesses to bring footfall back in, but also more Gardaí in the street. And I think these would really, really benefit. But we also need to put in facilities like a cinema and facilities to attract people to come to the city centre.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. D. Ryan, Fianna Fáil candidate, same question to you.
Yeah, well, as a parent of four, I am so aware of how important it is that we invest in our facilities for our kids. I spend my weekends and midweek every evening taxing somebody to some sort of a training session. Their minors stuck into soccer, Gaelic football, stage school, art classes, the whole works. And I really believe that it's critical that we support our children in our community to find what they're passionate about and to nurture that with them and give them the opportunities to engage with that, because it'll be with them for the rest of their lives. My own parents got very active in our home village, Castleconnell. My dad was one of the founders of Castleconnell Boat Club. Both my brothers rowed then, and they're still rowing now in their 30s and 40s. And so, you know, I believe that we really have to support community facilities. Raheen, Dordoyle, Castle Troy and Anacotti are crying out for indoor sporting facilities and for a library and for a community centre, and that's what I'd be looking at.
Your minute's up. Conor Sheehan, Labour candidate, to you on this.
Well, the first thing I would say is that sustainable communities are about more than than just housing. And we've seen some communities, particularly Castle Troy, which is now the fastest growing suburb in Munster. And little development other than housing has happened to Castle Troy in the last number of years. So a priority for me for a community like Castle Troy would be the need for a community facility, would be the need for a Garda station, would be the need for a library, and also Gary Owen, where I actually live myself, which is very neglected by way of it not having been included within the remit of regeneration. Another thing that I am working at progressing as a councillor is to get the council to acquire a stake in the Marketsfield soccer stadium. I mean, football is really important. It's the most popular sport in the whole country, and that stadium is in bad need of the council taking an equity stake and getting it redeveloped for the benefit of the city.
Okay. Elise O'Donovan, Social Democrats candidate, same question to you.
Yeah, I was actually in with students from the Castle Troy Secondary Educate Together School this morning, and, you know, the lack of youth facilities was just a major issue that was raised by them. So I would agree with the other candidates that, you know, there definitely needs to be more investment, youth facilities and a library as a priority in the Castle Troy Monaleen area. I also believe that we need a lot more arts and cultural space in the city as well. And I guess what the Social Democrats would be suggesting for that is that we would have special commercial rates for creative and art space, because there's a lot of commercial vacancy within our city at the moment. And the last thing, I'm a big proponent of swimming. I grew up in London, where there was a swimming pool within 10 minutes walk of every home. So we really need the Sports Capital Fund to be allocated every year, and it needs to be done in a much fairer way.
Okay. Final question then for our candidates this evening. So transport and infrastructure. What transport and infrastructure project is key to the development of the city and the region, and why are you best placed to drive it forward or improve an existing one? You have a minute and a half on this. We would ask you to stick to the time because it's limited. Elise O'Donovan, if you could start off on that.
Yeah, well, I think when it comes to public transport, we have to get the basics right, and we currently aren't getting the basics right. I speak to students every day who have to, like in my own area of Raheen and Dooradoyle, who have to wake up at 7 a.m. to be able to get to 9 o'clock lectures in Toos. So it takes 2 hours to do what should be a 20-minute car journey. We want to move people away from using their private vehicles to use buses. However, they are unreliable and they don't show up on time. I think a major issue that we have at the moment is that we contract out public bus services to private contractors like the 310 bus route to Anacotti, Plassey, and they deliver a poor service, and yet there is no penalties in their operator's contract when they are providing a poor service to the people of Limerick. And we saw a very similar thing with our bike scheme in Limerick as well, where we saw an unreliable bike scheme, yet we saw a contract renewed for a private operator delivering a really shoddy service. So it's unreliable and unusable for the people of Limerick to use it.
Okay. Conor Sheehan, to you and on that. Next, Labour candidate.
Well, the first thing I would say is that we know that our transport emissions have to come down, and a key way of getting our transport emissions down is to get people out of their cars and onto public transport, and Bus Connects is a key part of that, and I support fully the rollout of Bus Connects and the need to give buses priority over private cars on our roads. Look, we have difficult decisions to make, and personally I'm not afraid to make them. Now, the fact of the matter is we also need to do a job of work in order to bring some of the buses that are being operated by private operators back into public ownership. Those private operators are not reliable. We also need to roll out contactless payment. It's key. You know, most people expect to be able to touch on by card now on the public bus service. And we also need to make sure that we get orbital bus routes to get people from the suburbs over to places like UL without having to go through the city centre. And we need to roll out park and ride. We have fantastic existing infrastructure. We just need to sweat the assets we have in order to deliver better public transport. And I do think it's doable, because Labour has a strong record in terms of public transport. We stopped the closure of the Limerick to Ballybrophy railway line when we were in government the last time at a time when the country was on the skids economically.
D. Ryan, Fianna Fáil candidate, your proposal on transport and infrastructure and why you're best placed to improve it.
Yeah, so I met a man in Raheen tonight who was on a door in Meadowvale, across the road from my mother-in-law's, and he pointed out to me at the front of the estate where it's really very dark and badly needs another streetlight, a cone screwed into the road. And that's been there a year. The council have been out, they've done their part, they've created the facility for the lighting and they're waiting for the ESB to come out and do the electrics. And that's really a microcosm of the massive challenge that's in front of us in this country and over the lifetime of the next government in terms of infrastructure. Now, I'm pleased to say my party has, in our manifesto, set aside $5.5 billion for water and electricity infrastructural investment, because it's critical. If we don't get our infrastructure right, we won't be able to deliver on all of the other really important projects like housing, like the hospital growth that are necessary. Now, in terms of transport, again, I'm living in the village of Castleconnell. We have a fabulous rail line going past us. I used it myself to go to in and out to work in the Chamber of Commerce daily for years. It's not used enough. The times are very poor. It needs to be expanded and utilised fully in order to get more people out of cars and into public transport.
Okay, Maria Byrne, Fine Gael candidate, same question to you.
Thank you very much indeed. And certainly I would agree that we'll say the park and ride needs to be utilised and brought into play here in Limerick. My understanding is the council have bought two sites, both in Mungret and the Castletroy direction. There is actually no joined up thinking. The bus connects needs to happen. I met with people outside in the business park outside in Anacotti, where the bus actually stops 4 kilometres away from where they actually work. There is no connectivity. So there needs to be a lot more joined up thinking. I was below in the North Circular Road the other day where they spoke about reintroducing the bus. There are a lot of elderly people there. They've to go up into the main Ennis Road to actually get the bus. It's too far away for a lot of older people. So we need to roll out. We need to start connecting up the dots and connecting up the transport. While there has been 38.2 million has been invested in region and local roads in Limerick since 2017, and 66.4 million has been invested in active travel. We need to look at connecting them up, because certainly for people to come into the city centre, which we spoke about earlier, you know, they need to be connected and be able to use them, certainly. And also, I do believe that for businesses to thrive, we need to have an active bus and rail system as well here in Limerick.
Okay, Brian Ledden, Green Party candidate, your time is on transport and infrastructure and why you're best placed to drive it forward.
Limerick City and the other region cities are getting bus connects because I negotiated bus connects for the region cities into the programme for government in 2020. It's an investment of a few hundred million euros in each of the region cities, and it's going to give them the public transport service they deserve. It's going to take a few years to deliver. A lot of good work has been done already. We've already have the new service at Shannon Airport 24 hours a day, every 20 minutes, and it's really, really transformative. We're going to have that going to Raheen as well. We've had a 5-fold increase in local link. That is just benefiting communities right across Limerick City and County and across Ireland as well. We actually targeted 3-fold, but we got a 5-fold increase. So there's been incredible improvements in public transport, and we have led that. But I have a vision for transport for Limerick, which I've alluded to earlier, and of the first elements of it I actually have delivered already. The Limerick to Foynes railway line is going to have trains running on it in 12 months' time because Limerick elected me a few years ago, and I prioritised that project. I persuaded the Minister for Transport that this is the first element of a wider metropolitan rail network for Limerick, with multiple stations around Limerick. It's a housing plan as much as a transport plan, and critically it has a railway to Shannon Airport.
Time's up. Maurice Quinlivan, Sinn Féin candidate. Yeah, same question on transport to you.
There's a huge number of transport issues and construction issues and infrastructure issues in Limerick, and particularly the one I want to mention first is the Coon and Ocleshine Road, which has been derelict, half built for the last 2 years, and I believe that the minister is involved in that, have not got their finger out. 2 years ago the company was doing that, 40% of it has been built, the company collapsed, no real progress on that sense. That could have been completed by now if the proper action was taken. At the end of that, then we need to do the Northern Distributor Road, which is a key piece of infrastructure for the north side of Limerick. It will free up the traffic in Corbally, and particularly around the Castletroy area, the Grudy or the Mackey roundabout, where people are backing up, unfortunately, sometimes onto the M7 roadway. And then the bus services across the city, they have improved, but there's a lot more needs to be done. For instance, if you're listening to this and you live in St Mary's Park or you live in Garryowen, your last bus is half five in the evening. Some of the buses are very unreliable. There's 304 bus in Castletroy. I have a staff member who can't take the bus anymore. He has to drive in because the bus is not reliable. He can't get on time. So we need a whole look at that. So.
All right, your time is up. And thanks for concluding on that. We're going to take a break. We're back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1. Email latedebate@rte.ie.
Hi, you're welcome back. Before we go, there was a couple of other candidates mentioned in the course of this evening's debate. So if you want to look on rte.ie/constituencies, you can see a full list of everybody running in this constituency and indeed all 43 across the country. If you want an audio version of that, RTE's Barry Lennon has updated the Know Your Constituency podcasts, about 15 minutes each on each of the 43 constituencies. There's also a near daily podcast, Behind the Ballot, and the RTE News, Your Politics podcast is out today, and of course there's coverage throughout the day. But that's all that we have time for this evening. Mary Elizabeth Bruton was our broadcast coordinator. Research was by Niamh Dunn. Aisling Grufferty and Niall Hogan were on sound, and tonight's programme was produced by our series producer Penny Hart. My thanks to all the guests here in studio for making the time to come off a busy canvas and discuss the issues with us. I'm back on Saturday lunchtime at 1 o'clock for Saturday with Cullum O'Mungine, but up here next on RT Radio 1, it's Cathal Murray with Late Date.
The Late Debate on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.